Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of If You Know, You Know, the show for Web3 creators and enthusiasts. I am your host, Belle, and each week I'm joined by Web3 experts to bring you the latest trends, opportunities, and perspectives from all of the creators who are shaping the future of technology and art. Nothing we ever say is ever financial advice, and it's always important to do your own research. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. We do this show every single Wednesday, normally at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. I got to get my time zones correctly. 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, but we make exceptions when we got really cool, special people to our hearts, and one of them is joining us today, the Miami Ape. I've been trying to get her on the show. The good thing is, so Laura, for all of, I see a lot of familiar faces in the crowd, and again, thank you so much for joining us. I don't think Laura needs like an introduction, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, because Laura has, we've had the pleasure of having her on, if you know, for many different times throughout, even before it became, if you know, you know, show, I would say, like, even before it was a thing, just, you know, pressing go live. And Laura was always one of the first people that we thought of such an amazing community builder and a community member in every aspect of the word. And so Laura has always been kind of weaving throughout and through in and out of all of the shows, but I've never been able to pin her down and say, all right, this is a show featuring and like only featuring the Miami Ape. So I'm super excited to have her join us today. Laura, how are you?
Thank you so much, Belle, and how exciting. And I feel like we have done so many spaces and so many conversations, and it's never enough. So it's an honor to be here. I'm just getting back from a long trip, an amazing one to Asia. So fighting this time zone change thing, whatever, jet lag that is happening. But really excited to be here. And I see so many familiar faces too. So thank you for everybody that is joining us. And I know that more people would trickle down as we continue the conversation. So if you guys could retweet the space, thank you, thank you, thank you.
See, it's signs of being a good host, right? Because I was waiting for Laura to stop so I could say, yes, exactly. And if you guys could retweet, that would be amazing. And she did it anyway. Oh man, we're so in sync. I appreciate that. I want to hear all about that trip. So everybody, if you could retweet, show some love. You know, the algorithm doesn't work on itself. Like, you have to push it, you have to caress it, you gotta love it, you gotta finesse it. And we do that by commenting on the bottom right hand corner, by liking, by retweeting, all of that kind of stuff. So we'll get into it in just a second, but before we do, I have a special surprise even for myself. I'm so excited about this. Nidia is joining me today as in my amazing co-host, somebody else that I've been trying to, like, you know, to finesse to get up here. Nidia launched her own show today. She didn't know that I was going to mention this, but Nidia launched her own show today, which I'm super excited to share about. We're going to be pinning it up here on the top. But you know, it feels like one big happy family, because truly, I've always thought that speaking on Twitter spaces is a really good opportunity for anyone to flex that muscle of public speaking and just kind of getting your feet wet, your toes wet in the space. And so Nidia agreed to co-host with me. And so I hope that that's okay with everybody. I hope that's okay with you, Laura. And let's get the show on the road. I'm super excited to talk about everything. Are you already home or are you still out in Asia?
I just got back home yesterday. So still trying to fight the time change. But I'm really happy to be home. I'm really happy to see my dog and my cat and my family. So it's crazy. It's crazy when you're gone and when you're having fun. It's like the little things of like being back in your bed. I don't know, having your own fridge, doing groceries, like so many little things that just make you feel comfortable. So I'm happy to be back, but it was definitely a trip of a lifetime. I have to put it up there with one of my favorite trips so far.
Oh man, I'm not jealous one bit, not at all. Nidia, I saw you had your hand up, and then I want to hear all about the trip, ins and outs of it.
Oh, yes. I just noticed that Laura was like, I missed my dog and then I miss my family. Priorities, guys. Priorities.
I'm sorry. You know what? I'm like being I'm here. I'm actually looking at my cat. So I actually never had a cat before, and now I met this cat that it was my boyfriend's, and now he's mine, all mine. Before anything else, I was like, listen, if things go south, life happens, but I would run away with the cat before you catch me. And he's always like, you're so crazy. Why do you say that? I'm like, just for you to understand how much I love this creature. So that's why I said, because he's like watching me do this space. But yes, I miss my family. I actually just saw my mom, but I haven't seen my brothers. So technically my reunion was with my little ones first.
Laura, are you naturally a dog person? And the reason that I ask that is like normally a person, you know, you're either a dog or you're a cat person, but normally like in order for dog people to like cats, the cat has to act like a dog or else it doesn't work. Is that what the situation here?
That's hilarious. Yes, I never had a cat in my life, so I always had dogs. And this cat, he's just so loving to me. And yeah, maybe he acts like a dog. Like he sleeps with me, he sleeps in my feet, and he greets you at the door. So yeah, maybe he's just really smart, you know. He sees the dog and it's like, oh, that guy's gonna get the attention. Watch me. I'm gonna be so much better at this game. And he kind of is.
I called it. You see, normally cats don't want anything to do with you. Only the cats that act like dogs are the ones that are at your feet and like think that they can get in your lap. A normal cat doesn't like that. Now I completely understand. All right, well, welcome home. Welcome back to the space. I hope that you've gotten enough sleep, all of that good stuff. Tell us all about Ape Fest. What did you eat? What was your favorite thing?
Okay, what did I eat in APHIS? So my favorite food that I had in Hong Kong was dim sum. I also try hot pot for the first time, which was quite an experience because I like to think I'm an adventurous eater, but I never had hot pot, and then it made me realize how maybe in Miami we don't have that big of an influence as far as Asian food. And we went really late at night and everyone ordered the whole thing. So if I show you guys a picture, it was a lot. So it was a little overwhelming seeing all that food in the table. And then eventually I liked it and then I had it again in Japan. So now I feel like I'm a hot pot, you know, I got this. But my favorite was definitely the dim sum and some I like duck. And then I went to this restaurant that they had goose. I was like, this sounds almost the same. And it was delicious. So yeah. It went from animal lover to I really like eating goose. So I'm sorry, guys.
I know, I love I love that. No, that's amazing. Walk us through like the Ape Fest experience from like a community member. And what I'm going with that is 3 years ago, 4 years ago, right? Never in the mind of like any NFT person or anybody, I would venture to say. Would you think that every single year, potentially, you would be traveling somewhere, different parts of the world to go and be with people that you like met online, right? There's a tremendous uniqueness to the NFTs community and the NFT community. Sorry, I should have said that. Said that plural, to all of the NFT communities when they meet IRL. But there's even more of a magic, even more of a, you know, je ne sais quoi about Bored Ape Yacht Club in that there's such a almost cult following of people that literally will pack their bags and travel across to the other side of the world for camaraderie and for a party. I mean, not even in social, like, circles do we see that outside of, you know, maybe fraternities, etc. But these people that you met online. So I'm really curious. Hong Kong is so freaking far away that it's hard for a normal person to imagine. when you hear it, like, you know, what would you say to yourself 3 years ago, 4 years ago? Could you ever imagine that this would happen? And what is going through your mind when you actually are traveling there to go to an NFT conference, and not even a conference, an NFT gathering?
Yeah, I think if 3 years ago you would have told me this, for sure would have been like, no, you're gonna go meet random people in the internet in a country that you have never been to. That doesn't sound safe. So I would be super down to go to a new country, but maybe not to meet people that I met randomly on the internet. So I think that part probably would have been a big no for me. I am extremely grateful to be able to travel to literally the other side of the world for AFES. I was actually hosting a party that we did on Friday. There was several events throughout the weekend for AFES, and they started with some happy hours. And with the BAYC console, we got to host one of them. So it was crazy to me also to be able to mix like fun and work. So having a responsibility and like hosting an actual event, and then being able to go and have fun and see again so many people that I have seen now at reoccurring events throughout the world. So I don't know, it was very surreal because now I was in a foreign country that I've never been to before. It was officially my first time in Asia, because I think that like Middle East, like, I don't know, Israel, Palestine, and Turkey doesn't really count as Asia. So now I'm there, and then I'm meeting up with friends. Like, I'm not only meeting them for the first time, some people I did meet for the first time, but a lot of them, it's like, oh, it's you again. Like, I met with Grateful and Beastie and, you know, a group of the guys that I saw in Prague a few months back. Then I saw everyone that I saw in Tallinn, then people that I saw in Switzerland, then people that came to Miami. And it's just like, what is happening? Like, how is this real? So the sentiment was really wonderful. It's exciting to see how many people actually took the time to attend. I absolutely loved the idea of having smaller gatherings before the main event, because those gatherings provide the opportunities to actually bond with people. So imagine this different happy hours with, like, I don't know, music that you could actually speak to people and have a good time. And maybe from 200 people, each of them, from like 200 to 300, depending. So even though it was still large enough, it wasn't necessarily something as massive where you just have to do a small talk, 2 seconds, and then you never see this person again throughout the night. And that made the following night of AFES, which was more of a party, even though you had different sections, if you wanted to talk or if you wanted to be in front of the stage, more personal, because everyone that you met from the night before, now it's like, okay, at least now I know a familiar face, even if this was my first time attending an AFES or attending an event. And very happy for all the new members that got to attend this AFES because it was closer to their home. So even though for a lot of us, the reoccurring message is, wow, this is so far. I met people from Cambodia, I met people from Thailand, from Taiwan, from, you know, from Singapore, from so many places in Asia that they're like, I'm so happy it's here. From people from Hong Kong, they're like, oh, it's in my home. I'm like, what? I'm like, you're from here? They're like, yes. And we're so excited. We want to show you around. So it gives you an idea that sometimes we assume everyone is in the US or a lot of us, and that's where it ends. And meeting these larger communities and showing us that, hey, no, like, maybe, you know, maybe this is a good thing, right? And it could change the perspective and how different projects should focus on, I don't know, the global community that we are.
I always love your posts about how you say, I think, to quote you literally, I think you've said, you know, when I say that I can go anywhere in the world and find friends, like, I'm really not joking. I think that that's a really cool thing that's hard to find, right?
Absolutely. And I guess because I have experienced it at this point, when I have traveled for pleasure, so I combine this trip with my trip to Japan, we get to Japan and now we have a bunch of people that are connected because of the space or because of the ape community. It's like, hey, let's meet up. And that's exactly what we did. So now we went to APHIS and I ran into someone that I had just met for drinks, I don't know, 5 days before in Japan for the first time. And now I'm meeting an APHIS and it's like, hey, friend, like, how you doing? And it's like, wait, we just saw each other last week. So having that, you can't take that for granted. And I think that's the hardest part to explain from NFT communities and the network that you build, that sometimes the quote unquote utility is not necessarily what the project founders are giving you.
That is so... Sorry, Nidia, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's awesome, right? Because you say, okay, well, what is the project going to do for me? It's like, dude, the community. I feel like everybody's trying to be part of something. And I just joined Yuga, like, I don't know, 2-3 months ago. And for some reason, like, internally, you're like, wow, I'm part of this community. Like, this is awesome. And we all want to feel that part of something, part of a group, part of, you know, something that has meaning. And like you said earlier, if 3 years ago you thought, or that someone told you that you were going to be traveling the world, meeting people that you met on the internet, now that's, you think that, hell no, I'm not going to do that. Now it's like, heck yeah, I do that and I love it. And it, in Yuga gives that, or these festivals, right? They give that feeling of unity, of community, of one happy family. Maybe it's not so happy when the price goes down, but I mean, they're there to see each other. And it's, I feel like it's awesome that you guys went all the way to Hong Kong and did this together, you know, like, I really enjoyed your post, and I felt like seeing everybody's posts, I felt like I was there, even though I wasn't. So, oh man, thanks again for, you know, for sharing this journey with us and making us feel like we were there, even though we were not. Hopefully the next one is like in, they said Vegas, maybe. So TBD, I guess, right, Laura? Can you tell us?
I have no idea. I don't even think they have an idea where it's going to be. And thank you, Nidia. I think part of it is also, and it's a conversation that we had over and over with so many people that enjoyed APHIS very, very much. And then also like the negative feedback that is always going to come around. One of the things is that whatever event or conference or whatever it is that we end up attending, not everything is going to be perfect. And just because we're part of a community and we love a community doesn't mean that we're going to be completely blinded and say, hey, this or not, there wasn't any weak spots into making this happen. But the reality of it is also whatever expectation you had coming in before, it's major in order for whatever event, conference ends up being, right? And to me, for more that I'm in the console, for more that I love everything that Yuga is doing, everything that, you know, BAYC has done so far, because of the market conditions, I feel like my expectations, I was super excited and I knew it would be a lot of fun, but
sorry, Laura. Technical difficulties. Go ahead and finish that thought.
It was a moment of silence for everyone that complained about attending an event. Just kidding. But just being a little serious. So I think that the expectations that we put into a project that we join, a party that we decide to attend, or in a conference that we decide to fly to, it goes back also to our own expectations of what that should look like or what that could give us. And if it doesn't meet those expectations, then all of a sudden it seems like a failure. So I like to set my standards to be a little bit more clear and more aligned with the reality of the space. So I was blown away by the production, by the level of, you know, massive event that they were able to throw in a country where they're not from, in like the logistics of everything that they did had to be incredibly crazy. And then I could also not be blinded and say, hey, you know what, making a line 2 days in a row for merch for different drops, that's annoying. No one wants to do that. But at the same time, it's like, is it better than the year before? Yes, there was some improvements. Is there more room for improvement? Absolutely. There could be something done differently. But to just bash people that are building things constantly, it's like the toxicity of the space. So sometimes I'm like, listen, let's be real with this and let's set our expectations correctly from the beginning. So for me personally, my expectation was, if this wasn't correlated with like a work opportunity or whatever, and I'm flying all the way to Hong Kong, I want to pair it up with my trip, like with my, I don't know, with my vacation for the year, because maybe for me, it's not worth it for me to fly all the way to the other side of the world for an event that's going to be 3 days. I can't justify that. Like I personally wouldn't be able to justify that. So then you make that conscious decision of do it or not. So a lot of people that I saw that made really long travels, that's exactly what they did. They partner AFAS with, like, they went to Bali, they went to Thailand. They try to do like a bigger vacation out of it. And some people actually travel with other apes together, like I did after I went to Japan with a few of my ape friends. And that's awesome, right? But obviously, I could go on a rant about all that. But I just think it's important to, before we attend any conference or any event, it's like, what are you expecting from it? If I was expecting Coachella and then I flew to Hong Kong and it wasn't Coachella and I was going to be pissed, then that's on me.
That's such a good point. Go ahead, Nidia.
Oh, I was going to say that, yeah, you're right, right? Like I feel like there's people that's always going to be saying, there's people that will always say something negative about any event they go, any conference they go. But what I love about the community that are, first thing is Gordon, a while back, he replied something like, well, then you come up with an NFT project, right? Like, dude, like you do it then and you do everything perfect. Like every day of our lives, we have to make decisions and some work and some don't. So just deal with it. This is Web3. We're trying new shit, right? Like he has said many times. So yeah, it sucks that these things happened with the lasers or whatever. And people got, their eyesight, that was scary. Like that's very scary. Thankfully, I think everybody was okay now. Maybe next year they'll figure it out, right? And then the next year something else will happen, but then they'll figure it out the following year. So we're just here to F around and find out, basically. But it's awesome that you guys also took the time to know the location where you went and had that opportunity. I did see a few people that had never been to Asia and that took the time to stay there and learn about themselves. And it was like a life change for them, a life changing experience for them. And not only does 8Fest or Yuga or Board Ape Yacht Club provide a big old party, but it also provides the ability to, hey, why don't you guys come to Hong Kong? And if you want to stay longer, go ahead. I mean, I think that's a pretty cool, you know, situation there for all of us that end up going to these festivals.
I would argue that that's part of the utility, right? The utility is you get out of it so many more life experiences and opportunities than you had when you came into this. I do want to ask you though, Laura, because I think that you bring up really good points. Like there's so many haters that, you know, there will always be haters and no matter what it is that you do. And, you know, the if you use it correctly, a person or an organization will actually take that and package it up into something that makes them even bigger and better and greater, right? But the haters will always be there. And that's like internally within Web3 and within the NFT community. But even worse when it comes outside of the community, there are so many people who incredulously like look at the situation and say, what the hell do you mean that someone is actually going to pay for this JPEG, you know, thousands of dollars? And then because I didn't, it's not like I, you know, was part of the community like way back when I got airdrops, etc. So now in order to participate in this gated community, if you will, and participate in all of these things, it's going to cost me how much to pay for this JPEG and pay out of pocket to go to these communities. So one of the things that I've always found super, you know, admirable about you, Laura, is your ability to network and to meet those people. I mean, look, person A can be, you know, a Person A can be a long-standing member of the community with Borde Yacht Club and absolutely not take advantage of the same things that you did. Perhaps they will never have the experiences of being able to transfer to Hong Kong, especially the opportunities to say that no matter what city I go into, I would be able to find new friends. It's incredibly hard for a person to go outside of their comfort zone. You've done a fantastic job of not only like networking within the Borde Yacht Club system, but also in general, you partner with a lot of other organizations and a lot of other ecosystems. So I really would love to dig into, you know, how you get there. Like, what tips do you have on networking, both within and outside of BAYC? I think that, you know, tap us into what goes on in the day of the Miami Ape.
You know, when I think of networking, I go back into, I don't know, I've always liked people. I think that I've always loved interacting with new people. I've always been intrigued about why people think the way they think, why they do what they do, why do they react the way they react. And just from that curiosity and that, I don't know, excitement to sort of understand a little bit more and to sympathize with people and what they're going through, maybe that's why I went into social work and I, you know, the psychology part of it. I think that takes me into any sort of networking situation, being online or in person from a genuine place of I am intrigued by you and I am interested in having this conversation. So many times it's not, oh, who do I get to meet right now? And what do I get to take out, you know, from this conversation? Or how am I benefiting from this conversation? And sometimes to me, the pure benefit is like, well, I got to know someone new. I got to, you know, learn about what they're doing. I get to have someone else in my network that now I could perhaps connect other people and enhance their life as well. And maybe if at some point meeting one of these persons, right, ends up being an opportunity for me, then I'm also very excited to have that. So in events like this, sorry, Belle, you were going to say something?
No.
This space was downloaded via spacesdown.com. Visit to download your spaces today.
I couldn't hear you for a nanosecond, but I think that was me getting rugged. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. But basically, it's to try to connect with people from something that you are actually intrigued by. I have to, you know, make the commitment and the realization that I'm not going to connect with everyone, right? You can meet a lot of people and perhaps you're not gonna be able to carry on that conversation farther because that's it. You guys didn't hit it off or there wasn't anything generally intriguing from that conversation that is gonna make it move to a next level. But at least at the very beginning, that if you're not coming in but with an ask, you're gonna get that much more farther. So I think as an advice or as something that I have observed over and over again, it's so much easier to connect with humans from your likes and from things that you enjoyed and from something that you're genuinely excited or curious about, being maybe Web3, maybe is something that you're wearing, maybe it's a place that you want to visit or it's a place that you have been or something from your childhood, anything else than, hi, how are you? Let me pitch you my project in a very inappropriate setting, inappropriate time, instead of just connecting from a human place. And then afterwards, if you want to like, I don't know, have a more business conversation, then at that point, that's where you ask for a follow-up. And that's where, you know, after an event, then you take the time to send them a message and you send an email or whatever it might be. But not to seek out only people when you need them. And sometimes that's so much easier said than done. And we see it in this space over and over again. Be of a support, add value. And I see people that do so gracefully in this space, and I, you know, and that I learn from. It's like, how could I be of service to someone else, not expecting anything in return? Because I do believe that the more we serve, eventually life will bring things right back at you, and perhaps it's not that same person that you're helping today. So as far as networking, is that it's being genuine, follow up, make sure that you follow up with your conversations, and from that point on, it's like, be of service.
Do you ever DM people randomly or yeah, those and by
Oh,
people,
yeah.
yeah, go ahead.
No. Yeah, for sure. I DM people randomly. I tell people when I like what they're doing. I don't take personal when people don't write back to me because sometimes I don't write back, and I know that it wasn't something personal when I don't write back to someone. Perhaps I open it and I was falling asleep. I open it and I was jumping into a meeting. I open it and I was really intrigued what they had to say, and then I'm like, oh, I want to give some like a more thoughtful answer than the 5 seconds I have right now, and then I forget about it. So whenever I find someone that I would love to connect with and their DMs are open, trust me, I'm on that DM. And if they don't write back, I don't take it personal. Sometimes I meet them at an event afterward. I'm like, oh, how funny, I messaged you. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, man, don't be sorry. Like, I do this to people and I don't do it because of anything specifically. So reaching out via DM, especially when it's not to ask for something. So I think I'm really good about reaching out randomly to people about congratulating me about something or, you know, saying something that I like, maybe if I listen to their podcast or an interview, saying something that I enjoy from that or that I resonated with. And it helps me build genuine relationships, like I said.
I love that. That is so important. It's talking about like being outside of your comfort zone. I think that that squarely falls within at least my personal comfort zone, right? But the more that you are in communities that you like, the more that you're in communities with like, at least for me, it becomes so. I have been one of those recipients where it's like just a random DM from you, so I know that to be true, and I think that that's incredibly, incredibly cool. I wanted to also ask you a little bit about job networking because every week for a really, really long time, you've been creating this job board posting. Talk to us about that, and also with that. Like, what was the genesis of that? You know, why did you feel the need to do that? What were your thoughts behind it? And how do you personally recommend for people to go out there and get jobs within Web3?
I think what got me started was I didn't even know this was going to be like a reoccurring every single Monday trying to connect people, or that people reach out to me when they were seeking new, you know, employees or when they were seeking a job themselves. So it just sort of continued to happen, and I found it as a need because even when I wanted to look out for opportunities myself, or I had friends that were really great candidates and they couldn't find a job, or I had someone that was looking for someone really, you know, I don't know, really great for their team. And at that point, I'm like, who was it that told me that they wanted a job or that they were looking for something like this? So it came from a place where, hey, you know what? I know there are so many people out there and I can't keep up with who needed what. This might be such an easier and more useful way for people to connect directly with one another. And it's opened so many doors for so many friends or acquaintances that it makes me so excited and so thrilled to be able to have that. Sometimes it's not even in the post anymore. Sometimes people just DM me. And then because I know that someone commented and they told me that they were looking for that, I would be happy to connect them into, you know, creating an application or why not. And other times for those same networking opportunities that I've had, when I tell them about, you know, hey, you know what? Sometimes I do connect people via jobs, via this. They're like, oh, by the way, we're hiring for X, Y, and Z. This is a great opportunity for you. And then I will go ahead and share that with individuals that have interacted with the post or that have commented like something that they need a job opportunity. So I pin up top right here. And this is to show a little bit about, you know, back to like APHIS, how other communities also had their own meetups and reunions during APHIS. And that is pretty cool because it shows that it wasn't just only about apes. It was, hey, we're part of a multitude of communities and we're excited to showcase that. And I got to meet the co-founder of Sandbox and I talked to him like a normal person. I had no idea who he was. And then after a while, someone is like, oh, do you know who he is? I wanted to introduce you to him. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know. And then they tell me, long story short, we have a conversation and he was telling me how in Argentina and South America is like a very large scene for Sandbox that works for him and like for their team. And I was like, what? So how cool is it to find this information while I'm in Hong Kong, while I'm hanging out and I went to hang out with other World of Women holders and just having a great time. And I get to meet someone like him. And then he's telling me how, hey, you know what? We have been creating so many job opportunities in Latin America. And sometimes, like, I don't even think people realize that. I'm like, well, for sure, I didn't realize that. So that, to me, is an example of someone that I had the opportunity to meet, I had the opportunity to interact with, that is telling me, hey, we are already in LATAM, right? And we're already empowering them. So if I meet more people that perhaps I think that they could be a good fit, now I know that Sandbox is a good opportunity to maybe search for jobs. So I never know where the job board is going to take me next or what opportunities I'm going to find on the way to continue to share with our community.
Hey, Laura, that's awesome that, you know, that you just don't realize who... Sorry, that you don't realize who you're talking to and you're like, wait, what? He's, oh, okay. And that you are actually helping that person open the doors to more people like us, right? That we may not ever have the opportunity to talk to the co-founder of Sandbox, but hey, because you put those boards up, maybe we can all find a job with those, or maybe Sandbox can talk to you and you would tell them about us over here too. And I saw this live happen actually one time. And this is what I was wanting to say. Many months ago, actually, you were in a space with Jarritos and you suggested Sandy, I believe. Sandy. And she got a job with Jarritos because of you, because of your boards, because of your connections. So, you know, for everybody listening here, like it works. Like Laura's got you. There is hope. And just every Monday, look at the job boards that at the post that Laura, you know, puts out there for us, and maybe you can be next. You know, maybe I can be next. Who knows?
For sure, Nidia, and thank you for that. And you know what? I just think that it's an opportunity that it's so easy to make a post, right? And sometimes you have no idea where that could lead. And many times, most of the time, it's not going to be for me to take that credit. But if I could be that connector, then it makes this like social media platform that much more meaningful, which was the whole point, or what scared me about social media. What scared me about social media is that it could turn into something just more me centric, or just a little more shallow and a little bit more superficial. And I was like, that's not what I want. And what I have learned in the last 3 years is that these platforms are what you make it. You know, these algorithms are what we feed it. And the more that I do what I like and what moves me, the more that this is going to work out in the way that I expect it to. So if for me to be connecting people on a particular day a week and other days hosting a space and interview people that I would love to share my platform or empower others through that, then it just continues to create more of what I want to see and give my attention to those things. So like I said, I'm like, this opportunity, sometimes it's like, you don't know who you're talking to, you don't know who you're meeting. And if you treat people with the same kindness, respect, and thoughtfulness, then more doors could open. And don't treat people different because you think that, you know, they're someone, right? And many times that's where the power lies. I have many wonderful friends in this space that many times they see me and they're like, hey, Laura, I want to introduce you to so-and-so because they're so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, that's great. And I appreciate that. And I'm happy to meet them. But I would hope that me as a human being, I'm capable of treating everyone the same, that I don't need a heads up into saying, hey, Nidia is someone important. So kind of be like on your A game. And it's more just like, hey, you know, I'm going to introduce you to a person that I think will be special. But that was really, I thought that was really cool. I love to see how humble he is and how he was ready to support. We even talked about the possibility of doing an event during NFT Paris, in the offices of Sandbox, like right away. And he's like, absolutely, like whatever you might need, let's brainstorm. So there are, like I said, I'm like, there are so many opportunities that wouldn't have come my way if I wasn't in Hong Kong present, but I can pinpoint and tell you that, oh, this was a master plan that I had, because I just think that would be, you know, unfair. But it's just more being open to the possibilities and realizing that being here in this space during the market that we have had, and now things are looking a little bit better, is not an easy task, and it's a constant battle of ups and downs. We could talk about the great moments and about the moments that are exciting. And I could also sit here and say how tough sometimes it is, because it is discouraging when, you know, I don't know, people are not as interested in things that we are building. Like, their numbers are not just there. You know, when the floor prices of a lot of NFT projects go down, the interest of people go down. And it makes you question if this is the best use of your time. And as creators or artists or humans in this space, we need to acknowledge that there's going to come a lot of, with uncertainty, we have a lot of doubts, and that is totally normal. And that even when we're sharing a lot of our highlights of our wins or our gray moments or whatever, that there is also a lot of moments where even I myself, I'm like, oh God, like, is this going to get better? You know, like, I'm grateful to be working with this number of people and this number of brands, but it could be better, right? Like, if the market conditions were better, the opportunities would be overflowing, not just like, I have to go and look for them. A lot of the partnerships and collaborations that I've been able to nail or to treasure, I mean, to continue to have in this market, like, I have to work for them. I have to reach out. I have to put in the hour, the work, and the time. It's not just because, oh, it's Laura and I just sit there and, like, things come my way. So it's important to give that, you know, that clear vision to everyone, that whenever we're seeing someone's perfect reel or perfect highlights of their day, we don't see what they're doing behind closed doors. And that's something that we can't forget about, because life could get very sad or depressing when you think everyone is just winning at all times and you're the only one that is struggling with this.
Man, so many good points on that. I want to dig a little deeper on that, but before I do that, I want to point everybody's attention. I've pinned up to the top, it's the very first one on the carousel, on the for today's POAP. If you've been collecting them, make sure that you click the go through the instructions on there on, so you can know how to collect the space caps POAP pinned up to the top. Remember that the spaces are powered by Tau BRC. And if you're not into the BRC scene yet, highly recommend that you do that. For every 5 POAPs that you collect from If You Know, You Know show, which we give one out every week, we have one for every different speaker that comes on. For every 5 that you get, you're eligible for an airdrop of 420 BRC tokens. In today's world, if you know anything about what's going on that side, that is huge. So big opportunity. Go and make sure that you are doing that. Laura, going back to the topic, I'm super curious, you know, to your point, opportunities just aren't falling out of the sky and into your lap. You've actually been having to work for it. You know, we've been in this bear market for, I don't know, a year now, maybe a little bit longer. It feels like so much longer. But we seem to be getting out of it, fingers crossed. We seem to be finally, you know, getting out of it and going into a bull market. Anything you would have done differently in the past 6 to 12 months that you would have changed if you could do it all over again?
Ooh, in the last 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think the last 6 months it's been a lot of, like, staying consistent. I'm glad that whenever I was feeling a little bit burned out about almost like grinding and grinding in the space and just being stuck in in the market conditions that we have been, I gave myself a little bit grace and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to stay consistent. And yet, if now I'm going to travel to Asia for 2 weeks, then I'm allowed to not do spaces for those 2 weeks, when before I would be absolutely not. That's not going to happen. Like, it's going to be 2 a.m. and I'm going to do the space no matter what, like if my life depending on it. I think that I'm grateful that I took that moment and said, hey, no, you know, the world will go on and I could come back and be recharged and be refueled to continue doing what I love from a loving place and not from an I have to place. So in the last 6 months, I think I wouldn't change much. Perhaps the one thing before, right, when the market was more hyped, is not to feel as overwhelmed by the request of collaboration and things, which was a blessing, but it was also a lot of noise, right? So getting in, I feel like in that moment where the hype of the market is so exciting, and so this, you have so many people that are just there to do a quick, you know, like a quick mint to get money, and then they just want to pay some random people to pump whatever they're working on. I think in that moment feeling overwhelmed by that, now in the next one, I think I'm more prepared, I'm more ready to sort of weed out that noise and not feeling overwhelmed or feeling bad about saying no to opportunities that don't resonate with me or my brand. So somehow this market conditions gave me the opportunity to build in a more stable, long-lasting way, and also get me ready to weed out, okay, who has been here, who has good intentions, and when not to feel bad when almost like the scammers or the people that are here for their own reasons come around again. I think it would be so much easier for us that we have been here in the good and the bad to weed out.
Through sickness and health, not thickness, through sickness and health. Media, we're coming up on the hour, and you are a guest co-host, and as such, I'm going to throw it over to you and ask if you have any other last questions or comments before we start wrapping it up, Laura.
Yes, actually, I wanted to kind of spice things up a little bit and ask Laura, what is the craziest thing that you either saw, heard, or were told to your face during ApeFest? Or give us some funny lines or something crazy that you saw that was like, that you still think about. And you're like, how and why and who and where?
Oh my God. So you want chisme. Okay. But
bueno, you know pues, chisme sign too.
You know what? This is not a good one. But when you said craziest or whatever, it might not be what you're thinking, but this story is actually, it was quite sad. So I told you that I met a friend in Japan, right? One of the apes I met in Japan before going to ApeFest. And I went to Japan before and after ApeFest, just for some content. We went out with my fellow ape friend that I never met before. He brought his friend. And during ApeFest, I run into his friend. And he's like the second person I see when I'm at the event. We say, hi, how are you doing? No, not too well, but maybe a little better now. Long story short, he tells us that he was in a taxi in Hong Kong, and the taxi driver goes into cardiac arrest. So he had to get out of his seat, get out of his seatbelt, press the brake. Thank God it wasn't like a really bad car accident, but he had to give CPR to the taxi driver. And sadly, the taxi driver passes away. So for us, like, that was my welcome. Like, I walked into ApeFest. I was there for 2 minutes. He's like the third person I see, and he tells me this, and I died. I was just like in shock. And my boyfriend comes and he's like, what happened? I was like, say hi to him. Like, I don't even know how to tell you this. So it put our mortality into the picture again. And like I said, I'm like, sometimes we complain or we are unhappy or we have so many loud voices or opinions about things that don't matter. And at that moment, like when he told me that, I was like, oh my God, I'm alive. You know what? Like, we're good. Like nothing else matters. And things that you never think about, like you never think you're going to be in a taxi in a foreign country and something like this could happen. And, you know, yes, he was grateful that he was alive and that he was good. But then he's like, I watched someone kind of sort of like passed away and I couldn't do anything about it. So that to me was the craziest thing, not in a good way, obviously, but it's something that touched me and moved me into, you know, how could I continue to build something that I'm proud of every day? And how could I continue to stay aligned with my values and who I want to be, regardless of, you know, what society sometimes wants to push us into, hey, this is the only way of building something, or this is the right way, or this is the faster way, this is the engagement way. So, you know, how do we do so in this space? But yeah, that was totally like the craziest thing that I saw in a positive light, because we're not going to end this conversation on that horrible story. I'll say that one of the coolest things that I experienced was that after AFES, there was an activation with BMW. We got to put our apes in, like the car was like wrapped in projectors, and we got to put our apes in the projectors. And a few days after AFES, I asked the guy that was recording, I'm like, oh, how could we get video of this? Because he was recording us while we did the whole thing. He's like, well, maybe during the BMW page. And I was like, what do you mean maybe? I'm like, no. I'm like, for sure, I'll see my ape on like this video in the BMW thing. And a few days after, I actually found myself in the BMW page. And basically the whole reel is like, Jaime and I, and like, it looks like a commercial. I'll try to like find it really quick and pin it up here, but it just looks like a commercial. I was like, we should have been hired for this. So it looks like a legit commercial of the Miami Ape and BMW. And that was like something crazy that happened. So I guess I said a low, low and a high, high.
Oh my gosh, Laura. Well, God dang, I was about to say, oh man, we're going to end this in a very sad moment, but you kind of saved it. And I am very proud and excited for Bell Space. Thank you. It sucks that happened to the taxi driver and that your friend, you know, that he tried, but goodness, you just never know when your time is coming, right? So I'm just glad that you guys were able to experience AFES, experience Hong Kong, the areas around it, Tokyo, everywhere, and that you told us a good story at the very end. And that's awesome. I saw your video, by the way. So lucky. And we all think like, man, why don't we get our apes? Like, nope, not yet. So our time will come, guys.
So I just, there's so much to unpack on that. First of all, Laura, talk about a roller coaster with your responses. My gosh.
I'm sorry.
Like, I can relate to it, right? Because my personal story, like, I'll spin it to real, like, real, real, very quickly. And people are like, wait, what? I wasn't expecting that. But the funny thing, I'm laughing at myself, and I hope that all of you guys can appreciate. I think it's an intimate room. I think you guys all know my humor and my personality. The funny thing about it was that I'm listening to you, Laura, and it's so true. So it's so important, right, to put things in. Life has a funny way of showing you perspective, especially when you need it the most, you know? When I'm gonna put myself into your shoes, and hopefully I get this kind of right. But you know, you have this very incredible surreal moment in your life in which it would be surreal for me. So let me just say, if I were you, I think this is how I would view it. It would be a very surreal moment for me to say, holy smokes, I'm in Hong Kong of all places, or I'm in Japan of all places, and it's really cool, and I know all these people. It's like a movie, you know? It's like a movie. Like, how is this my life? And then to have somebody kind of snap their fingers and be like, yeah, but here's the reality of that life, you know? Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back to what actually matters. And you may have all of these, you know, champagne bottles popping around you, and, you know, flights, etc. around you, but the true value of life is X. And I think that life has a funny way of showing that to you, particularly when we all need it at different points in our life. So you know, I appreciate you sharing that with us. What I was laughing at to myself also was the fact that Nidia is guest co-hosting with me, right? And so this is like the first time that she does it. And this is probably her first opportunity. And she's like, oh, I'm going to wrap this up in a cool note. And then here you come with the hardest way to host a space. Nidia, what did you think about that?
That was challenging, guys. I was hoping for a crazy story. Oh my gosh, guys, I saw this guy getting naked or this lady. I don't know. Something crazy, you know, like 8Fest, usually something crazy happens and it's funny and it's awesome and we all get excited just hearing the stories. And then I'm like,
I'm sorry. You know what? You know, it's just that nothing could top that. Like, I feel like that was just the reality. That's what happened. I'll say something that I thought it was funny. One of the guest performers was DJ Soda, and she's really like a really big DJ in Asia. And there were some girls working in there was like a lot of delicious food stands and like a lot of free food. And it was my brother's birthday too, so I was calling him. And then I'm on the phone, like hitting the back of one of these food stands places. And then DJ Soda goes on stage. And there are these girls that were working and they see who it is and they start jumping. I actually have them on video. I just remember that I recorded them. I like hang out the phone with my brother and I see them and they like look at each other. And it's like, oh my, like, I don't know what they said because I don't speak their language, but I could see their mannerism. And they're like, ah, whatever. And they start jumping and they leave everything. So like they were working. They were working like the food stand thing and they just left and ran to stage. And I was like, okay, this is how I know that, you know what, like different artists are huge in different places and that it means different things to different people. So that was something that I'm like, how cool, I guess, if this was probably someone that like sang in Spanish and I was working the event, I probably would have been like, F this, you know, like I'm young, I'm only live once, YOLO, I'm gonna go to the front stage and party and have a great time. But I pin up top here the BMW commercial, the unofficial commercial that I would like to say that it was a commercial if you guys want to watch it.
That's so cool. Congratulations on your BMW commercial, exclusively heard here. Laura, what can we support you on? How can we continue to elevate you and show you love?
Come to my shows too. I'm like, I think that sometimes, you know, it goes a long way when anyone retweets a space. I think we take a lot of time and commitment out of our days to make this happen. So Belle, you host wonderful spaces all the time. So I think you understand that. So sometimes even just commenting or retweeting, it sounds like a broken record. And sometimes I almost hesitate to say it again. But it's just the reality. And sometimes when we are the ones listening in, we forget how important it is to the host or the person organizing the spaces. So that could be the best way to support me. And another way that would be really, really cool is if you find any opportunity to speak at any conference or an event, if you could send it my way, that would be amazing because it always... it's so much easier. And most of the opportunities that I have had, they have come from friends in the space that identified these opportunities for me. And then I'll do the heavy lifting. I was like, I'll reach out, I'll do whatever it is. But I think that if it comes recommended by one of you, then it goes a longer way.
That's so good. You know, personally, like 100%. Yes, I'm so glad that you shared that. But also personally, it's a lesson to my, like, it's a reminder to myself, you know, that you truly do have to create those opportunities for yourself. I've been trying to make a conscious effort out of doing that. But, you know, you got to sip it up, man. Things just literally do not fall into your lap. So I'm going to take that as a lesson. I hope that all of you guys take that as a lesson as well. Make sure that you browse through all of the pinned posts that are up here. Check out that BMW commercial. check out all the carousel. There's some really cool information and really cool stuff on there. And also make sure that you follow the instructions on how to get today's POAP. Thank you so much for joining us today. It has been a fun show. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I do. Next week, we got a really special show with Luca Nex. pics of pudgy penguins. Hopefully, if I get all my technology up and running, it'll be live on Twitter on the video aspect as well as live on Twitter Spaces. So you get to see my pretty, pretty little face, hopefully. But again, we do this show every single Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or depending on, you know, how important and special the guest is, we may change it up every once in a while. But I appreciate everybody tuning in. Today I'm driving, or about to be, on the road. You know, I gotta, if you know me, you know this is carpool time for me. So gotta do what you gotta do. So no music for today. But just imagine that I am closing out the room with some really cool reggaeton. And that's how we'll do it. I'll see you guys next week. Thank you, Nidia, for joining us today. Thank you, Laura, for joining us today. Make sure that you are following every single person in this room. And other than that, if you didn't know, now you know, baby. See you next week, everybody. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.